longer remained interested in providing over-the-counter food service due to cost, due to lack of school enrollment. So there was a challenge there. And so we were able to provide and offer a micro-market concept in the community college. This is the first one ever offered in any of the community colleges at Quinnebaug. And we immediately placed one in, and the college is very, very pleased in just our short time in offering. In addition, Middlesex Community College has now reached out and has requested our presence for a micro market as well. So we're excited to be able to start that in fall. And then in addition, we finally got the okay through with Camp Net, National Guard Training Facility in Nyanic. We've met with them, and they are interested in working with us in creating a hybrid style micro market, which would include not just food, but toiletries and so forth for individuals who come and train for the week or the weekend from out of state, who may, you know, obviously forget their little different items, t-shirts, whatever the case may be. So we're working on a concept to create a hybrid opportunity there. They're excited, and we plan on having that start up, I believe, hopefully in August. We're kind of waiting on them to get some final signatures done so they can renovate the space for us. So that's a plus there. So there we have, you know, obviously three new opportunities that we're excited about, in addition to the pilot of the vending. And then in other news, a while back, I mentioned to the board that we had created a partnership with Southern Connecticut State University in regards to being able to insert our first right through partnership with Sodexo Foods to be able to place one of our own operators to manage the food service at Southern. This individual, Amos Fatorma, who you know, essentially started within our program as a micro market overseer, has you know, just really done some great work and over the years to just constantly climb the ladder of success, so much so that they've made me aware just last week how extremely pleased they were with Amos's presence and his partnership, and just giving him a shout out and acknowledging and being thankful for us connecting them with Amos. So overall, I think that was a nice compliment, and hopefully will position us for future opportunities in other state colleges should they occur. Overall, I'd say we're we continue to be hard at work, you know. Whether it's offering a single operation or multiple locations, you know, I think my focus in just kind of managing the program is to provide a wage of earnings, an opportunity that fits each and every one that participates in our program's needs. So, and I think we're doing that, and we just continue to do what we do and try to do it at the best of our level. And that's my update.
Any questions for Tyrell?
Yes, this is Eileen. First of all, if I'm understanding correctly about this 12-month pilot vending machine partnership, I would assume that anybody taking advantage of this would have to be in a fortunate position to have somebody who is able to drive them around. Is that correct? I mean, they'd have to go to... How would they... you know, meet the requirements, which are certainly correct, that you have put down for that job?
Yeah, no, good question, Eileen. You know, obviously, you know, what we were trying to do when considering offering this opportunity is, first and foremost, you know, the program's first right opportunity is to provide or allow our program to provide vending services, and understanding the challenges that come with that, especially being legally blind. You know, we are fortunate in the state of Connecticut to be allowed to provide this opportunity, but through a partnership, which essentially allows us to take a bigger company and provide the vending. Well, what the goal behind this is to essentially go back to the basis of the regulations and say, okay, you know, there is that ability for an operator to to directly, you know, support a vending machine. So how would that look like? And so when we offered these opportunities, the very first thing we wanted to do was allow operators to, A, determine their routes. And so by doing that, you know, before they committed to their interest, I asked that everyone physically do a dry run in which the route that they had an interest of possibly taking over. So to your point, Eileen, I think, you know, when we talk about how does someone execute these opportunities, it's kind of, it's just something that each operator who has interest has to figure out. I mean, we would, we only want to offer opportunities that are safe in the sense of their ability to get to the location safely on their own. In addition, everyone has, as we all know, has a different visual acuity. And so with that, I think it's a personal, you know, decision as to their ability to either A, have someone to assist them, or B, provided the technology in which will allow them to essentially execute the responsibilities in which are going to be set forth. So there has been a lot of conversation, again, within our program, various acuities of vision and various concerns. And I think we've done a good job in identifying those and trying to figure out whether it's with the assistance of technology or if it's with them, you know, maybe realizing that they may need someone to assist with these opportunities. As to date, I haven't had anyone, you know, kind of state that their concerns with this potential opportunity weren't met due to something that they, you know, obviously personally felt we didn't provide or consider with rolling out. So I think it's more personal.
All right, and then my other question is, how many field staff does BEP have at this time?
4.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Tyrell? Hearing none, I want to thank you for an excellent report, Tyrell. It sounds as if we continue to have opportunities and means to innovate to get income, and I'm especially pleased to hear about the community colleges having some interest in the micro-market concept, and I look forward to that concept spreading around to other community colleges, because I think it's a great opportunity both for the vendors and for the students who want to grab a bite to eat, because when I was in community college, I really appreciated, you know, what they had. They had cafeterias then, but still, to have some opportunity to grab a snack while you're between classes or at the library or whatever, I think is something that everybody can benefit from.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the next item then, and that is Voc Rehab. Mary, you have the floor.
Okay, good morning. I have a little shorter of an update. I feel like I need to say more, but, you know, as far as kind of the biggest things happening in Voc Rehab right now are definitely our staffing updates, you know, that we are still looking to fill our positions. You know, unfortunately, I originally submitted in my report saying that our new person was starting on June 30th. We were very excited for her to start, and then she withdrew her acceptance. So I'm not necessarily a superstitious person too much, but next time I will not be that excited. We even started her caseload, so I'm not going to do that anymore. So we are now looking to post our 2 transition counselor positions, as Carol said. That is the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. We interviewed for the northern part and only had 1 candidate that came out of that recruitment. And because we didn't say that it was covering the south, which that person will be able to report down in the south, we are going to do both positions at once now, and that should be coming out any day. We interviewed yesterday for the bilingual VR counselor position. That is the statewide position that will be doing outreach to underserved populations, along with our bilingual, you know, translation for our bilingual clients, Spanish-speaking clients. So we, out of that recruitment, we have at least one recommendation. We're still working on the paperwork. We may have a second person. So we're thrilled about that. This is a very difficult position to fill. So to be able to get two candidates out of that will be amazing. We had Jaime Ortega from Adult Services, our social worker, there on the committee. So he tested the Spanish skills, and it looks great. So, and he gave the thumbs up that she, you know, that he or she did a great job. So, so hopefully we'll be filling that position. And we also had recruited, and we're in the process of looking for the going through the applications for our rehab teacher position. This is for our northern part of the state, filling our the position that most of you know Michelle Laramie had been in for a while. So this person would be the technologist for the northern part of the state. And we have quite a few applications. We're just looking through qualifications and setting up interviews. We're rushing that through. Unfortunately, they kind of all went out at once, so we had to kind of compartmentalize. We interviewed for the transition, the bilingual, and now we're going for the rehab teacher, and then hopefully we'll be able to interview together the southern and northern positions. So that's where we're at. It's been a little bit challenging in particular for our transition counselors, so it was a little bit of a blow that the person withdrew. So we've really just, you know, everybody in the program has kind of had to chip in to help out with our pre-employment transition caseloads. We're getting a little bit of a respite as the schools are out, so that kind of helps, you know. So that's been a lot of our focus, is just kind of covering caseloads and doing things. But one of the positive things that I did highlight is I feel like in April and May, like we kind of entered in the next phase of reopening after COVID, and we had an explosion of conferences, so many conferences in person. A lot of those conferences had attendees of over 500 people at them. I mean, it was a really great couple months. Our program is very big on networking with providers, with employers, so this was really good for Voc Rehab. I did in my update give a little bit of what the conferences were, so I'll explain them. That we went to the Council of State Administrators for Voc Rehab, CSAVR, along with, because they're back to back, the National Council for State Agencies for the Blind and CSAB. Carol came, I was there, and I came along with Tyrell, who came to NCSAB for one of the days, because that was a big focus on BEP. But CSAVR and NCSAB were very focused on the fiscal part of our Voc Rehab program, which is kind of an unusual thing for that program. It was very informative, talked a lot about monitoring, which we're up next year for. We think we're up, I guess I haven't announced it, but most likely we'll be up. So it was very helpful, I think, for us to be there to hear from other states and learn a lot about the fiscal piece. Our fiscal staff didn't attend, so they ended up bringing that training, or a variation of the same training, to Connecticut for 2 days, going through EDGAR, which is our federal fiscal guide, and different things, you know, related to, you know, federal regulations and fiscal and upcoming monitoring and some tips. The individual who did it, there's two, one was virtual, one came in person, is through our Vocational Rehabilitation Technical Assistance Program. Rehab Service Administration has quite a few technical assistance programs available. Carol talked a little bit about the older blind, but in Voc Rehab, there's many of the VR TAC, I guess they call them now, the vocational rehabilitation technical assistance programs. And so an individual from that program came through George Washington. There are universities throughout the country that the technical assistance programs are funded through. It used to be, for everybody who's been around for a while, ICI and University of Massachusetts was the only one, but now that's not the case. They have tons all over that specialize in different things. We have utilized in the past the pre-employment transition technical assistance program, so we know they're available. If there's any questions, we know who to go to. Also in April, there was the conference on serving adults with disabilities, which was in Westbrook at Water's Edge. We helped fund, we're usually a sponsor agency of that, and we were again in collaboration with BRS, so ADS helped sponsor it. We had five staff attend, and this is a program on employment. The main focus was more on customized employment, and there was a lot of transition in this conference as well. And then in May, we also sponsored the APSBE Conference, Association for Supporting Employment First, which is an annual conference. I'm on the board and the planning committee for that. We had five staff, again, attend that. Different staff, ironically, so it wasn't the same five. That conference is all on job development, supported employment, disability, so a very heavy focus on employment. And both of those, the Conference on Serving Adults with Disabilities and APSBE Conference, probably had about 200 attendees each. It was kind of a record number for those conferences. CSAVR and CSAB, I think, had 550, that we had to go into an overflow room. That's how many people attended that. So we're back to having conferences. So we also went to, but this is a new conference for us, and it had a voc rehab focus, so it's why we ended up going. We went to the Capacity Building Conference on Transition that was in Charlotte, North Carolina. Three representatives from BESBE went. I went along with our counselor coordinator and our transition coordinator, because we don't have our transition counselors. Jonathan, our counselor coordinator, and I kind of represented represented BESBE on transition, so we can kind of pass it along to our transition counselors. And that ended up being an amazing conference. There was 12 members from Connecticut, through CERC, through the State Department of Ed, through BRS, and we kind of meet as a team and develop our state plan for transition. So it was a great conference, and again, that was a well attended conference, around the 500 range as well. So this conference was all about collaboration for transition students with disabilities. And this year they put a huge focus on VR. So there was many members from the technical assistance grant through RSA on transition who did a bunch of breakout sessions. There was even one that I sat in about the set aside 15% for our program. And that was a representative from one of the technical assistance programs. So it was a great conference. I think that's it for a little while for conferences, but they seem to be coming up in the fall again. So it's an exciting time for voc rehab. I would say, from my personal perspective, during COVID, that was the thing I missed the most, is being able to go out and network and meet the other individuals who are doing the same thing as you and collaborate in the state or nationally. So it was a great couple months, busy, especially since we're not very full staff, but we managed and we survived, and we came back and gave the information to everyone. And as a result, in particular, with our CSAVR and technical assistance training on financial, we are looking at streamlining policies and different things. So there's a lot of focus on that as well from voc rehab. It's just trying to make sure our policies are up to date. We're streamlining processes that don't need to exist. Updating our forms. Carol mentioned the JOT form. Jill Warzeka is our primary contact from VR. I'm also on that committee, although she's kind of taken the lead for sure, for Voc Rehab. So we've updated some of our forms already. I think we're using the format of JotForm already for those, but we've updated a few of our forms just to, you know, a lot of them are outdated. So that's definitely another focus for us. And I know, Carol, you might have a better update, but we are in the process of getting our survey out. I think it's either gone out or going out soon. We changed it a little bit for Voc Rehab. I know this was brought up in our workout group when we were doing the state plan, and it's kind of been something that's been brought up over the course of time. So I thought I would update you that we are increasing the amount of individuals getting the survey. So we are surveying individuals who are closed unsuccessfully as well as successfully closed. So that number has increased, how many people we are targeting, and we're working on trying to get them the survey electronically, which is, we kind of implemented last year. And she's implementing it more officially this year. And it did help last year to send the survey electronically for individuals who have emails or text options rather than phone calls. In the past, we've done phone calls, and that doesn't work so much, you know, anymore. Hard to get in touch with people. People don't call back. So the surveys definitely electronic survey made a huge difference last year. Hoping it will make a huge difference this year. Unfortunately, we don't have everybody's email, so we have to do the two options, you know. So there is going to be somebody available to make phone calls from Central. So that's going out, and we're also working on our comprehensive needs assessment, which is also in the works. We have our state rehab council meeting next week, so I'm sure we'll iron out more details going forward. But so those are kind of some of the things that we're working on. We're definitely working on processes and procedures and trying to make things a little bit easier, especially given that we are pretty much looking to hire so many positions, especially in the clerical area as well. Luckily having Raya, but Raya isn't able to just focus on Voc Rehab. So we're still working on a lot of those different processes. And we're plugging along. As far as our business office as well, we've been working on different streamlining and different things. So that's pretty much it. Other than that, it's pretty much business as usual for helping individuals get jobs. So that's it for Voc Rehab.
Questions for Mary?
Yeah. Al?
Steve, go ahead.
Have a question?
Go ahead.
How does the fall closure look right now for VR?
We actually don't have it done in the fall at this point. Actually, I'm in System 7. I can tell you where we're looking at. It actually is now done on July 1st to June 30th. So rather than the fall, it's a different performance measures that we have now. But right now, to date, we're at 86. So I'm anticipating, let's see if I can tell you how many are anticipated to close. You know, everybody's working on closing the few for June. Our quality control reviewers on vacation, so that's kind of pushing things, holding things back for officially closing the cases, but she'll be back before the end of July. So we're looking at, I could tell you because I'm in the system, there's about, I just want to tell you how many people probably can close. This is late breaking live information. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's about 8 or 9 that can probably close, and possibly closer to 10, because we still have a few more months. They have to be in 90 days. So we're probably going to be hitting around 96 or 97, which is a lot compared to last year. I mean, we were like around the 50 during COVID, you know, for obvious reasons. And then I think last year we hit about 70. So to hit in the 90s, 95 is amazing. So we're thrilled, even though it's not where we were probably around 100, maybe a little bit lower, you know, pre-COVID. You know, we were probably 95 to 100, I would say, 110 at our best year. So to be back in the 90s is definitely pre-COVID numbers. So we're happy. And if we can get it to as close to 96, you know, and get those 10 through, that will be amazing for us. So we're happy. We've been getting people jobs and helping people keep jobs and moving people through the system. So, you know, given that we are down three counselors and the counselors having to help out, you know, I couldn't be happier with them. We've got a great staff that are left, you know, who didn't retire, and they've been moving things and doing what they need to do. So, you know, along with helping out with the other cases. So they're definitely should be commended, because, you know, it was hard, you know, to get back into pre-COVID numbers. It wasn't easy, you know, having people get back into the workforce, and not even that, just getting our clients to want to go back, you know, after COVID, for the fear of, you know, things didn't reopen as quickly. Even though they reopened, they didn't reopen as quickly as, you know, everybody had hoped. So it took a while. So we're happy about that. Been a good year.
Yeah.
Well, I think
any other questions for Mary?
I think, yeah, with the people working from home, that gives us a good advantage to get more people hired. Is that correct?
Definitely, definitely. Individuals have been able to work from home. There's a lot more telework options. Where that has been our biggest benefit, not even so much within Connecticut, has been the ability for individuals to work in other states. You know, we have quite a few people who work in other states other than Connecticut teleworking. They're remote, you know, so there's options that are available kind of, you know, nationwide now that weren't available to us in the past. We've had a few people relocate too, ironically, you know, like that seems to always kind of be a big thing for us in Connecticut for whatever reason. But I feel like more in the last year than I've seen in the past, where individuals have gone to other states, and then we may close them out and help them while they're in that state. And then I don't know why people are leaving Connecticut, but that does seem to be a thing. And, you know, they're able to get jobs, like, remotely through other states. But, you know, I do want to, when we do get our list of closures, I'm going to see if I can get that data. How many people are teleworking or remotely, hybrid? We may not have it, but I'll see if I can try to get it, even if it's anecdotally from the counselors.
That'd be a great CSAVR topic, yeah, to see how it's going nationwide in terms of that, yeah, that particular trend.
Because definitely in COVID, during COVID, you know, that was the anticipate, like, wow, this is going to be great, because a lot of individuals want to work from home, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how that panned out, you know, like did it turn out that there are a lot more remote jobs offered? So I don't have that answer, actually, but.
Well, excellent. Any other questions for Mary? Oh, sorry, Steve.
I just wanted to congratulate everyone at the agency for the hard work they're doing to keep us going. I realize it put a lot of time and pressure, but you guys are holding together, and with the new staff and Carol coming in and helping out, it seems to be going really well. So I congratulate each and every one of you for your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for that, Steve. Any other questions for Mary? All right. Thanks very much, Mary. Excellent report. I'm glad that people are so willing to come out for CSAVR and CSAB. I don't think I ever saw a turnout like that. I was going in the early aughts, and we were getting like 200 people, and that was kind of a big deal.
It was amazing.
Overflow is just unbelievable. Yeah.
And they filled that room. That room was pretty full in the overflow room. I mean, there was like there was a hotel at the conference, and then an overflow hotel that got booked. You know, so other people had to go into the second overflow. I mean, it was just amazing. And the same thing happened with the Charlotte one. Overflow hotels booked. They had to go into So interesting.
You just looked to the Marriott in Bethesda. Not the Marriott. There's a new Marriott.
There's a new Marriott, which is where I stayed at, and it was beautiful. This is just a side conversation, right? You don't need to put it in the notes. But yeah, it was a really